Good evening, everyone. Nice to see you. I just had a little snack. Sorry about that. Randy and I have just been through, in fact, it's still going on, 3 days of retreat, online retreat we did with Anan Tupten, one of our Tibetan teachers, really our only Tibetan teacher. And so, you know, it's just so sweet to do that for 3 days and then come in and get to be with you. It's extra wonderful this weekend. So, boy, we've been talking about lots of things, but two things I think this week we can focus on, if we're wanting to, is, and I mentioned it last week, mention it all the time, is managing our minds. We're beginning to get to know our minds in ways that maybe we haven't gotten know them in the past, but now we're pretty convinced they're pretty crazy. It's pretty crazy. And then things are not as they appear. And that's one thing about this practice is you have to keep reminding yourself. Reminding. You're saying, well, I've heard that 45,000 times. It doesn't matter. Mm-mm. It's just the way of things. So we're always having to remind ourselves, and that's okay. So we're still talking about perceptions because, again, things are not as they appear, and how we perceive through our six senses, and we're including thinking as our six senses, one of our six senses, they're varied, and there's lots of them all the time. And so through this system that we perceive through, it doesn't see clearly. You think, oh, I've got my glasses, I see clearly. I see clearer with my glasses, that's for sure. But one of the reasons we don't see clearly is because we bring the past into the present. We don't mean to do that, but that's the way we're programmed. And so when we look at a tree, we're going to see the tree clearly, but then we're going to bring, you know, our baggage with us. So it's not clear seeing. And so that's one of the reasons things are not as they appear, because we can't see clearly. But we're trying to. There is a way to clarity where we can see the truth of all things, but we have to know what's getting in our way, what's keeping that clarity from us. And the Hindus call it the third eye. It's a mystical vision, a mystical invisible eye, usually depicted as located on the forehead. You've seen it, which provides perception beyond ordinary sight. And so we become attached to this one perception that we've been working with and living with for a long, long time. And Tezaneya, he's a contemporary Vipassana teacher, says, what if we mindfully open to other perceptions? The aware mind is most capable of this. And he says we could perceive our home as a retreat center. begin by altering the way we see our home, he says. When we begin to view our home in the same way as we view a meditation center, our practice will become smoother. And we keep checking our attitudes and our views and our thinking and our background ideas. So why not? I don't know where you live, but I do live in a meditation retreat. It's beautiful, with the drought and everything. Sometimes I can't see the beauty, but it's nature, which is the most, being around nature or children or animals, it's the closest we get to beings who are here, awake, authentic. And so perception through the mind can bring about all kinds of things. And one of the things we talked about are unwholesome thoughts. And they slip in, because again, we're having to remind ourselves that we have this propensity towards greed, hatred, and delusion from our conditioning. That's not who we really are, because we all have Buddha nature in all of us that knows all of it. Our perceptions can point to more of accepting, loving kindness, wisdom, or knowing. And these are wholesome states. So it takes the right effort to sustain training to stay awake. And so, because life is full of paradoxes and things are not as they appear, and there's a paradox of being a human being, because we've talked about this before too, we live in two worlds. It's even more difficult at this time, I think, for the human part of us being alive at this particular time on the planet because of all what's going on. And then all of a sudden, there's over a 2-month drought all around me where I don't feel comfortable going out because it's not pretty. It's depressing in lots of ways. But what Anand Tupton taught today was the lesson on bardos. And it's a Tibetan term, and the Tibetan tradition really studies it. And we're not going to study it, but we're just going to hear the word maybe for the first time. But I went to Wikipedia, and it said it's an intermediate or transitional state of uncertainty. And so Anand started out saying we are in a bardo of uncertainty. And then throughout the days, he talked about how that comes and goes. And we also know that the teachings say that uncertainty, as much as it pulls us in, it's helpful. It's something that can help wake us up, because we pretend we know, we act like we know, but when it gets down to it, we all know everything's uncertain. We don't know what's going to happen the next moment. But the Tibetans are known for their teachings of these bardos, and really the only one I've seen most of us interested in is the Tibetan Book of the Dead, the Bardo of Dying. And so I have in the past bought the book, the Tibetan Book of the Dead by Robert Thurman. So if you're interested, want to know more about that, he's a good translation. And Thurman says Tibetans think of their systemic study and analysis of human death, a process, as a cautious and practical preparation for the inevitable, for the end. So we may be finding ourselves in the bardo of isolation, bardo of uncertainty, of fear, a whole array of emotions, of where things, we really, it brings home to us that things are uncertain. There is a sense of uncertainty, but it's the truth. And so we also know that as painful as all the pains of living is difficult, we know we have to go through the pain of it. The pain of not wanting to hear about it. So the human being serves the mind because it has an ego that wants to protect us, so it's not all bad. But the paradox of the ego is that when we are still and we take everything within, something shifts. We begin to open in a whole nother way, perception, that is spacious. And that spaciousness can be called awareness. And awareness, in this tradition, and all of the Buddhist tradition, is who we are. Because we are all of it. And we become the connectedness where there is no birth or no death. So we have that. And we get in touch with that, who we really are. So no wonder we are so confused or so something because of the way that we're pulled. So, but awareness, what it does, it lacks the separation that the mind perception does. And that's what the mind does. It divides, it analyzes, it wants a solution, it wants certainty. And that's why getting to know it in a way that we are and sustaining that knowing, it behooves us to, in working with the mind. And so our meditation practice points us to mystery and uncertainty. And it's important to have an openness to that. And the veils of separation are parting, and the reality of interconnection is apparent to everyone on the earth. Oh, wouldn't that be nice? And so we have needed this bardo pause, perhaps even needed it more in this lifetime than we ever have, to remind ourselves how much we need each other. So we need each other to wake up too. We need what we want, what we can do to have an impact on everybody's consciousness is working on each individual consciousness. We know that. And so that's what we're doing. We're waking up to all the paradoxes and understanding who we really are. And so, have you noticed that the COVID is kind of back? Do you know anybody that has COVID? I know, yes. Yeah, it's back, and it's back in a big way. So here we are again, tested. And it's not even cool outside, and it's September. What is a being to do with all this stuff? So, but we do. We know how to do this. We're if you want to talk about it in a mundane way, we're not going to be hugging for a while. So that connected part that I missed and a lot of people miss so much during the big pandemic, it's coming back to us. But we have found a way in our meditation practice, and it might be considered the best time for us to visit what's happening within. Because everything that goes, and we know this, I'm talking to myself, everything there is to know is within. We have it. All we have to figure out is what's covering it. What's covering it? And so in studying the Four Foundations of Mindfulness in the mind and mind states in the body and sensations and emotions, we begin to see the truth of what it's like to be a human being, and we point ourselves to being more human. Now, how can you be more human? Well, I'm a little bit more compassionate than I used to be. So it takes us to our true self. It enables us to see and experience directly that life is full of suffering, but there are ways to relate to this suffering that does not cause more suffering for ourselves and for others. And so it's worth the effort. So we have to go within, and that's not easy. And observing what's going on within. And where we begin to find the paradox of living simultaneously in two worlds. One's in the human form. Here it is. It's our curriculum. It's our conditioned curriculum. It's important, and it's important that we get to know it in the good, the bad, and the ugly way. No. I just want to be the spiritual. Let me skip this. No. Well, I found out I can't do that. That it takes both the mind and the body, and then it takes that spaciousness. And what happens is when this comes like this, we become awake. Completely awake. We're not fooled. There's no duality. So, there's a possibility that the spiritual, the one that is a mystery, we find ourselves with less to do. Haven't done anything the last 3 days except meditate and listen to Dharma. Well, you know, that's right effort. I know that. I'm not shaming myself. But the thing about it is it's delightful. But if you told me maybe last week, you know, you need to settle down, you know, you're going too fast or acting pretty impulsively, you know, I would have heard it because I've heard it before. But the 3 days of meditating shifts us. And so it's important. The more we meditate, guess what? The more we are open to the truth of all things. And so it's a journey that takes right effort, and it's a journey that takes commitment, and a journey that we live with. You know, it's a way of life. It's not like, okay, I got to meditate now and, you know, and live my life. No, It's not the way. Because in our formal meditation, because it puts us in a position of being quiet and still, we're within ourselves directly experiencing the way of life. So we're in touch with that. But we can't stay in touch with that because, guess what? But it's been sanctioned. And I guess what I mean by that is both are important. So we're seeing up close how things can shift. We're seeing up close suffering and the uncertainty. We're seeing closer and finding ourselves closer to the possibility that life is not lasting. We're not waiting until we die to talk about death. So what we're experiencing are little deaths. Have you noticed that? Little deaths of the day, every day, woe is me, is I don't get what I want. Or I get something that I don't want. Or I am reacting to a natural phenomena of liking and disliking that happens quite naturally in the system. But then I'm grabbing a hold of one of them and I'm creating a story, a virtual reality, and suffering will follow us. And we're learning that. And we're sitting together and we're having discussions. One of the things that Anand said to his students, which I'm one of his students, all of us, he said, let me see, he said, there's three things. He said, you listen to the Dharma. He says, you reflect. And you meditate. And so we take what we gain, take what we learn in our form of meditation, and the real curriculum comes daily. How do I respond to life or do I react to life? And so as we learn to respond, sacred pause, then life becomes easier, happier. And so we find that out for ourselves. I'm speaking to the choir. I know that. Let's see if there's anything else. Just to remind ourselves that in those two worlds we live in, we're not going to get very far if we do not take the time and the effort to learn to love ourselves. And that's counter-cultured for us, for sure. But again, the mind and body will not open to the possibility if we don't respect and know how to love and take care of this mind and body. It's holy in its own way. It has its own lifespan, just like all the phenomena that we are dealing with. Our emotions, they're just phenomena that arises and falls away. Thoughts, they come in and they go out. So we can go to the mind too. You know, how it tries to fool us. Not intentionally, I don't think. But how we get fooled. Well, we've got to have time for the pain. And so I guess my lesson tonight is, let's make room for the pain, and then let's bring in the reflection of what our choices are. And this particular practice, I can't teach that tonight, but you've been practicing for a while, you've got all the tools you need to work on. So I'm going to begin again. and see if I can't again sustain my mindfulness a little longer. All right, thank you for being good listeners.